Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show Air Force Brigadier General Jim Demarest. Jim is a Desert Storm vet and served in the Florida National Guard, and he's got a mission, a self-assigned mission. Jim, start by telling us about your time in the Air Force, and when and why did you join? And, oh, by the way, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Denny. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and your audience. So I went to the Air Force Academy, and I was drawn to service. My dad had served in the Korean War, but I could never get him to talk about it. He was part of the generation that didn't really want to talk about what they did, but I was fascinated by the prospect. My godfather was a larger-than-life figure in my life. He, by all his accounts, single-handedly won the air war in Europe as a fighter pilot. And so as a young man, piqued my interest, and the Air Force Academy was my ticket into the Air Force and into the world of flying. And so off I went.
Well, that's logical. And as a West Point grad, we can pull each other's chains as we go along. So you got into the Air Force. Where did you serve? I presume you were a pilot. Talk about your career. Where were you assigned? What kind of jobs did you have?
Sure. After graduating from the Air Force Academy, I went to pilot training, where I graduated number one in my class and decided to fly the McDonnell Douglas F-15 Eagle. So I spent about 10 years as an Air Force F-15 fighter pilot. My first assignment was flying at Bitburg Air Base in Germany. It was a very exciting time. President Reagan was in office. It was very much a go-to-war environment. It was a great place to cut your teeth as a young aviator. I was fortunate enough while at Bitburg Air Base to get selected to attend the prestigious Air Force Fighter Weapons School, or Top Gun program to your Navy audience, where I was a distinguished graduate. Came back to the States following my assignment in Europe to Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico, where I once again flew the F-15. And near the end of my active duty career, I was mobilized and deployed to Operation Desert Storm. I flew combat air patrol missions over Kuwait and southern Iraq in the September through December timeframe of 1991 before leaving active duty in the summer of 1992.
Okay, and you spent the rest of your career in the Florida National Guard, am I right?
Actually, I took a brief 16 and a half years off as a service member, which a lot of people find interesting. So I left the active duty. I decided that if I never fly a high-performance airplane again, that was by choice. And then in 2009, a friend of mine was selected for a command position. And as had been my history, I picked up the phone, I called him, and I said two things. Number one, congratulations. He said, number two, I'm not looking for a job. Interestingly, he said, hey, look, with your background as an attorney and a fighter pilot, we would love to have you as a JAG. And so 8 months later, I raised my right hand once again. I swore in to the Florida Air National Guard, where I served as a JAG for 10 years at the state and national level before being selected as a brigadier general in a leadership position currently as the chief of staff of the Florida Air National Guard.
Wow. All that and a lawyer, too. You know, I guess every once in a while you find a good lawyer, don't you?
Well, I'm a recovering attorney, so anybody who knows a joke about lawyers is fair game. I did not love the commercial practice of law. I did love being a JAG because serving our commanders and military members and helping them solve some of their really tough problems gave me a lot of job satisfaction.
Well, that's awesome. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Air Force General Jim Demarest. Okay, your mission is to get the Medal of Honor awarded posthumously to Air Force Captain Stephen Phillips, who died in action during Desert Storm. Please start by telling us the story of Captain Phillips, how you met him, and his story.
Sure. Well, Steve and I were proud members of the class of 1982 from the Air Force Academy. And Steve and I were really acquaintances from the boxing team. I call us boxing buddies. At the Air Force Academy, there was a boxing club. It was not an intercollegiate sport. It wasn't anything other than a group, a collection of guys that loved to box. And Steve and I were both left-handed, and neither one of us were very tall for our weight class, which means we fought a similar style. We did a lot of training together. And so I really got to know Steve very well as a member of the boxing team. He was not my roommate or best friend at the academy. And when we graduated, we took similar but different career paths. Both went to pilot training. Steve went on to fly the A-10. I, of course, went on to the F-15. We both graduated from the Fighter Weapons School. We both flew fighters overseas. And so we had parallel career paths. But I've been motivated to tell his story because of his heroics, not really because of my super close friendship and relationship with Steve.
That's a good point. And from what I have read, heroism definitely marks that man. Tell us that story.
Yeah, you know, Steve is a hero. He earned the Silver Star for gallantry in action on a mission I'm about to explain to you and your listeners. And the upgrade is our thought that perhaps his valor could be more appropriately awarded. But whether that goes anywhere or not, Denny, Steve Phyllis is a hero. And here's why he's a hero. On February 15th of 1991, Steve took off on his 30th combat mission of Operation Desert Storm. As a very experienced A-10 fighter pilot, he was combat paired with the most junior pilot in his flight, Air Force First Lieutenant Rob Sweet. They took off on February 15th on what was undoubtedly their most dangerous mission of the war. Denny, they were flying 100 miles north of the Saudi-Kuwaiti border, fragged to attack Saddam Hussein's elite Republican Guards, which up to this point in the war had been spared most of the air assault that had been concentrated closer to the border. So they get up over this elite division. It's 10,000 Republican Guard troops. They're armed with 150 mobile anti-aircraft artillery systems, 24 sophisticated SA-13 surface-to-air missile batteries, and a lot of guns. And Steve and Rob have just about finished attacking this unit when Rob is successfully engaged by a surface-to-air missile at 13,000 feet. Plummeting through 6,500 feet, airplane on fire, most of the right wing gone, windscreen full of sand, pulls the ejection handles, and now has a 5-minute parachute ride on top of the unit that he and Steve had just finished bombing. So, Denny, the first part of the story really talks about how dangerous the mission was and the environment was. So here's what Steve does in response. He does what any fighter pilot would do. He marks Rob's location, gets the latitude and longitude coordinates, gets on the radio, talks to the airborne warning and control aircraft, begins the search and rescue operation. Anybody would do that. That's what you expect. He did that, Denny, in about the first 60 seconds. Low on fuel, low on weapons, all by himself in a slow-moving airplane, Steve Phyllis had earned the right to leave. But the thought of leaving never crossed his mind. He continued a left-hand orbit at 10,000 feet, drawing fire from every AAA and SAM system on the ground. At the same time, he gets on the radio to summon another flight of A-10s inbound, says, "Hey, come cap my position. We need additional firepower." He is not about to give up on Rob Sweet, who's still swinging under parachute. While doing all these things, he himself is successfully engaged by a surface-to-air missile, which hits his A-10, catches the airplane on fire. He's quickly able to assess that he's not going to make it home. Yet what does he do? Denny, he does the thing of heroes. He first gets on the radio and says, "Hey, you two A-10s that are inbound, you should turn around and go home. It's too dangerous here." He continues to orbit over Rob for 3 minutes and 45 seconds, an eternity in a combat environment over hostile forces emboldened by their recent success. And finally, unable to render any additional help, egresses the area and keys the mic using the code word for the day in a voice as cool and calm as you and I are talking here today, and says, "Enfield 37 is bagged as well." That's the code word for, "I'm going down, I'm not coming home." And Denny, unbeknownst to his fellow fighter pilots, to Rob Sweet, his fiance, his family, his friends, moments later, he's engaged by another surface-to-air system from another Iraqi division and killed in the crash that day.
Wow. Well, there's more to discuss about Captain Phyllis, and General Demarest is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it is push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break and stay in the area. Jim and I will be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Air Force General Jim Demarest about seeking to honor Captain Stephen Phyllis, who was killed in action in Operation Desert Storm. Yeah, he was killed in action. But that man was a hero through and through. You're seeking to get the Medal of Honor for him, Jim. Talk about I believe he got the Silver Star, and this is an effort to upgrade to the Medal of Honor. Am I right?
That's exactly right. And you know, Denny, the Silver Star is awarded for gallantry in action. And that's why, among other reasons, Captain Steve Phyllis is a hero, irrespective of an upgrade. But I think when you look at the personal sacrifice, the danger, the things that he did, it rises to a higher standard. Now, the Medal of Honor is a very prestigious award, and the bar is set very high, rightfully so. And to earn the Medal of Honor, Steve has to have distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry, at risk of life, above and beyond the call of duty, with an act so conspicuous as to clearly distinguish himself above his comrades. And when you look at what Captain Steve Phyllis did in the face of incredible withering anti-aircraft fire, a pristine, highly trained unit, you know, the Medina Division, 12 days after shooting Captain Phyllis down, was involved in the largest tank battle of Operation Desert Storm. And they were commended by the U.S. troops who said those guys stayed and fought. And so it was a dangerous mission. Steve was in mortal danger on a constant basis and sacrificed himself to try and save his wingmen. In my view, that's exactly the type of heroism the Medal of Honor is designed to recognize.
Yes, sir. I mean, when you knowingly put your life in a position where you are probably going to die, a la throwing yourself on a hand grenade that's going to go off and kill your buddies, this certainly is that and more. So, yes, I certainly see what you're talking about.
So, Danny, you're exactly right when you talk about the dive on the hand grenade example. You know, as airmen, we sometimes have a difficult time explaining how dangerous our missions are and what bravery looks like from an airplane. Because I think it's easier for us to recognize the dive on the hand grenade heroism. So here's Captain Steve Phyllis's dive on the hand grenade moment. He is orbiting over Rob Sweet at 10,000 feet at 200 knots with 10,000 angry troops shooting at him. As he's trying to get two A-10s who are inbound over his position, what you have to understand is the A-10 has no radar. And so the only way for them to link up is for Steve to talk their eyes on his position. And so while he's orbiting over these troops, he decides that to help get the A-10's eyes on, he's going to dispense high visibility pyrotechnic flares out of the bottom of his A-10. So picture this. He's alone in the late afternoon sun in a dark airplane in a clear blue sky at 200 knots and dispenses a bunch of flares that says to everybody on the ground, hey, if you weren't looking at me yet, now you can see me. Moments later, his airplane is struck by that surface-to-air missile. That's a dive on the hand grenade moment from a fighter pilot that is worthy of the Medal of Honor.
Yes, sir. It sure is. And those minutes he spent doing that, I've been under intense fire on the ground. And 2 or 3 minutes of intense fire seems like a year. And I didn't have to worry about the ground giving out from under me. He had an airplane that he probably was pretty sure wasn't going to survive. Yet he did it anyway. That's an incredible story. So how do you do this? How do you get an upgrade of this sort?
Well, it's a very high standard. But a number of years ago, you had to bring forth new evidence that was not available at the time of the original award. Really, based upon our experience with the War on Terror, thankfully, the Department of Defense and the Department of Air Force have broadened the criteria a little bit that allow us to look back to see if there was something that was missed. And in this case, you know, the analysis that I just described was really not done. And this is not a dig on anybody who did the work originally. The wreckage was discovered on the 22nd of March. His Silver Star was awarded on the 16th of April. He was buried on the 18th. It was a very compressed time frame. And once they found the wreckage and identified Steve's body in it, they were able to piece together through some radio calls what happened. And at the time, it was General Horner himself that was overseeing the Combat Valor Awards. But importantly for this upgrade discussion, General Horner only had authority to issue up to the Silver Star, which he properly did. In order to upgrade to the Air Force Cross or Medal of Honor, that had to get kicked up to the Air Force component level. And what we've been unable to determine quite yet is whether or not that was done, and if so, what kind of review was done. So the rules and regulations allow for us to take a new and fresh look with this additional analysis that I've been able to piece together through witness interviews and videotapes and audio tapes that I'm hoping will tell a compelling story, encouraging the Air Force, Department of Defense, and our senior political leadership to get behind this upgrade.
How is it going? Are you seeing any progress? Is there a chance that this is going to happen?
There's always a chance. I'm under no delusion. This is easy. It's going to be a heavy lift. It's going to be a long process. We were lucky enough to get the Air Force magazine just this month, Denny, to publish an article called Above and Beyond, which really lays out the heroism that I described and talks about the Medal of Honor upgrade process. Right now, we're in the information campaign trying to get the word out. And so I hope your listeners have been paying attention. I hope they'll remember the name Captain Steve Phyllis. And a little bit later, we'll talk about ways that they can learn more about his heroism. But next week is when we're going to begin the process of engaging with the congressional delegation, with the Air Force, putting together the very extensive package that you might imagine with witness statements and all the other paperwork. So far, when I tell the story of his heroism, I get a lot of vertical head nods from people that think this is Medal of Honor worthy. But look, it's a long process. I'd be a fool to think that it's going to be easy, but I'm determined with the help of others to see this thing through to whatever conclusion it reaches.
Jim, we're about out of time. Is there anything that listeners can do to help you?
Absolutely. Listeners could go to my website, which is jimbootsdemarest.com. That's jimbootsdemarest, all one word, .com. They can download a copy of the Air Force Magazine article. They can share it with their networks. They can get it out there. If they know people of influence, congressional delegations, political leaders, people who care about this stuff, share the story with them and encourage them to energize at the grassroots level. And then they can follow along on my website, our progress, where we'll continue to post, hey, here's new ways you can help us. Contact this senator. Here's a copy of the letter. Get behind our effort to get Steve's award upgraded.
That's awesome. Jim, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for this effort to recognize the heroism of this fine man and for taking on a huge journey because it's the right thing to do. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Well, Denny, thanks so much for having me. And to your military and military-friendly audience, thank you so much for tuning in and for remembering Captain Steve Phyllis.